Please be seated. God already knows what's on my heart. Why do I need to do my own prayers? We have a whole book full of prayers and we use it every Sunday. Of course I pray. No one has ever taught me to pray for myself, and I know I'm missing out on something. Perhaps one or more of these statements, all of which I have heard, resonates with you. They have made me wonder why it is that there are so many different understandings of prayer. Well, let's face it, the Bible and the Book of Common Prayer give us some conflicting messages about prayer, or at least they seem to. Take, for instance, the first formal prayer we do in the service on most Sundays. We address God and say, "To you, all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid." Right there, doesn't that say we don't need to tell God anything? Because God already knows it all? It does say that, but there's something missing if we stop there. To assume that you don't need to pray because God knows you better than you know yourself is not the same thing as being connected to God in a way which enriches our lives. Not bothering to pray because God knows your heart is like leaving a message on an answering machine that says, "Help, I'm in trouble, I need you," and then not saying where you are or how to be reached. What is God supposed to do with that kind of message if you haven't left a callback number? The truth is, God can do wonders with that kind of message if you're on his contact list or her contact list, and God can reach you. That's why we need to learn to pray. We need to open a line of communication with God which works in both directions. How else are we to appreciate the tremendous love and mercy and grace which is flowing into our lives every moment of every day, whether we realize it or not? Then there's the argument that we don't need our own prayers because we have a whole book, if I can reach one. We do have these, don't we? We have a whole book full of prayers, and it's a really wonderful book. The thinking is that when I want to pray, I can find something in here. But honestly, total reliance on these pre-assembled prayers is a real hazard for us in the liturgical tradition. This book is full of beautiful, eloquent, powerful prayers. Praying the daily office from the prayer book is an incredibly valuable spiritual practice, and I hope you all will consider adding that to your own disciplines. The prayers of Psalms and morning and evening prayer are very effective in bringing our scattered minds to focus on God. But relying just on these sort of dressy prayers or the other daily devotional tools we may use has two hazards. First, they do not push us to learn to pray spontaneously. And second, they don't challenge us to be transparent to God. The second one is what's most important, that we learn to come before God in a state of transparency, of humility, of surrender to God. That's what opens the communication and establishes our connection. Think about how you talk to your closest friend and compare that to how you talk to the friendly checker at City Market. Then think about what you receive back from those conversations and your relationship with your closest friend versus what you receive back from that friendly encounter across the checkout stand. We don't have to cultivate a personal relationship with God through prayer. God will still pour out unbounded love to us. But unless we have cultivated a close personal relationship with the Almighty, we miss out on experience what God is offering us in return. Now, let me step back here just a bit and clarify my language. I constantly refer to prayer as communication with God. But if the name God is too mysterious or lacking in form for you, if you need a more concrete focus for your prayers, Jesus is your guy. Many people ask if it's okay to pray to Jesus. Yes, it's okay. Scripture identifies Christ as our great high priest, and priests are those who act as intermediaries between the people and God. In the Book of Common Prayer, we identify Jesus as our only mediator and advocate. I often conclude prayers with, "In Jesus' name." And what we're saying when we do that is, we're coming not in our own name, not from our own merit, not from our own worth, but praying through Christ, because Christ loved us, died for us, rose for us, and intercedes for us. That's what it means, that little phrase, "In Jesus' name," and it's very powerful. So yes, if praying to Jesus feels better for you, do it. Learning to pray isn't hard, it's just a matter of desire and commitment. Many of us get very hung up on using the right words and making our prayers sound worthy of God. I think that the beautiful language of our prayer book has something to do with that problem. Our corporate prayers are wonderful. They are eloquent and godly, and they are polished and often have the power to bring me to tears when I really immerse myself in them. But those prayers also make me think that when I pray on my own or for others, my words need to be just as eloquent and as godly and as polished, as if I needed to do it just right in order to woo God into my life. But God is already there, already in our lives, and is constantly trying to woo us into completing the connection so we can have that two-way conversation. Our prayers do not need to be anything more than open and honest. And if that means shaking your fist in anger or falling to your knees in gratitude and surrender, it's all good. If we come before the divine in humility and surrender as our most vulnerable selves, we give God something to work with. And that's what God is asking us to do. Give the Holy One something to work with. Your words don't matter. Where you go to pray doesn't matter. The time of day doesn't matter. What matters is your intention and willingness, not just to ask, but also to listen. That's what God wants of us. Establishing a prayer life can take many forms. There are multitudes of self-help and devotional books written about it, and some of those can be very helpful. Or pick up the Book of Common Prayer and turn to page 136, Daily Devotions for Individuals and Families. It's an easy place to start. It can be shortened to accommodate a busy schedule and will get you in the habit of daily prayer. But do not pass quickly over that little rubric, the rule, the italics in small print that say prayers may be offered for ourselves and others. Take that time for a conversation with God or Jesus or whatever name works for you to focus on the really real, the true God, the divine power of the universe. In my life, there have been times when I just felt out of sync with God. Something had happened, or a whole series of things had piled up, or I just felt like I was living in a spiritual wasteland. There's a practice that I've gone back to time and again to get over those dry spells, and perhaps you'll find it, or a variation on it, something helpful. I learned this from the best-selling author, Melody Beatty. She usually writes about codependency. But she, in another one of her books, she came up with this technique, and I adapted and tweaked it a bit. But it works like this. Every day, preferably in the early morning, before your outside distractions start to distract you and you get busy, sit down and write down 8 to 10 things that fill in this blank. I am grateful that. Not I am grateful for. You are looking for things that you are grateful that. So when I started doing this, my list included things like, well, throughout the time I've done it, have included things like, I'm grateful that I feel alone and isolated in this new place. I'm grateful that I worry about my friend even though her stuff is none of my business. Those are true quotes. I'm grateful that the library has good audiobooks. Your list may have something like, I'm grateful that I had to fight with the kids to get them to school on time, but we made it. Or I'm grateful that I know I am frustrated with George or whoever and want to punch something. There were some days when I was first starting this practice that my first entry was, I'm grateful that I am still doing this practice even though I think it's really stupid. And I know it seems like a strange exercise to focus on saying thanks for both the good and the difficult in your life. But over time, this practice will connect you with gratitude for what you have and what you are instead of what you want to have or wish you were. God wants us to come as we really are, and this can help us do that, to bring it all before God in an attitude of possibility. And when we do that, amazing things really can happen. A meaningful and transformative prayer life takes practice and patience and trust. The words will come if words are needed, but it's really pretty simple. Anne Lamont says that it all boils down to three kinds of prayers: help, thanks, and wow. Help, here's what I need. Thanks, gratitude from the heart, and wow, when we are stunned to a place beyond words. If you find yourself at a loss for how to pray, perhaps those three words will help you get started. Then just let go of the inhibitions and let the conversation flow. You will be amazed at what this new best friend comes up with in return. God is constantly inviting us into relationship, and we can choose to invest in it or not. God will still love us in a way that is better than the best love you or I have ever experienced. But for us to fully experience God's love, we have to want to listen. And that's why we've spent the last 4 Sundays talking about spiritual practices, so we can be tuned in to God's love for us, and so we can take advantage of the wisdom of the universe, and so we have somewhere to go when we are overflowing with joy or with sorrow. God's loving arms are waiting to embrace us, and God's words are just these. Come here, child. Talk to me.